Ben, I apologize for the cauliflower. It's rough when the kitchen is right there.
It smells like home.
Oh, good. Good. Homely feeling. Good. What should we look at?
Yeah. Well, I got to see something in just meditating here that was really helpful. In that there's been really a lot that's been going on all week of, I mean, from death to physical stuff to breakups in the family. And what I saw is there's a part that feels like she has to, there's a conditioned thinking that I have to explain the feelings that are here. And it actually came with thinking, would that be something good to, to share that just to get out? And this, that small voice dropped in and said, you don't need to explain anything. The feelings are there. I mean, it wasn't even that much, but that was the message. And it was just this, it was like, as with so many other things, just being embraced in the compassion. Whatever's going on, and I have to think that it does relate to that, to the practice of the perfection in every moment. I mean, that was my last, the last month, just reflecting that perfection. And that perhaps, because that was able to come through. Felt so good.
Yeah, and sometimes, I don't know if this is true for you, but sometimes it can feel like, okay, I can sort of, all right, everything is the way it is, and that's the way it is, and that's okay. But it's kind of a big step to, and that applies here. Because often that double standard holds. I can accept that everything is the way it is and that sort of thing, but should I really be feeling this, or shouldn't I?
Well, yeah, and maybe this is the same thing you're saying, but just that sense that you need to explain it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just...
Well, there has to be a reason for it.
Yeah, but it's like, if you're breaking into tears all the time, you've got to explain what that's about to everybody or whoever's there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've probably been through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who hasn't at different times?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and again, I don't know if this is true for you, but what would you say about it that made it any clearer? You know?
Yeah.
Because that's one of those places that we... kind of assume that, so if I say what's going on, then that'll make sense to other people, and then they'll understand, and then they'll, but very possibly not.
Anyway, I just, I also did a few recordings today about the year end, what all that was seen, and it was amazing. There's been a lot going on, so I hadn't done any recordings on it yet, and it was just amazing what just kept coming and coming about the insights, and it's so easy to forget if I haven't gone back and listened to the recordings, or if I, and it just doesn't end. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I project for everybody that was involved in the year-long retreat, but for myself, what I got to see is there were two top areas, it was a better way to say it, where there had been suffering.
Uh-huh.
And I started out the year thinking, I've been putting that out there actually in, I think it was the Socratic email press.
Was that this year?
I think so.
It's been a very long time ago.
But I got to see that in both situations, in fact, one of them was tonight, that just this clarity about, in this one, I got to see, I got to observe conditioning in that particular one in a way I hadn't seen it before. Mm-hmm. As I was doing the recording about what the revelations for the year, and then, and here's another one kind of, Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the first. So it was a lot of gratitude.
Yeah. Yes, me too. And it really argues for keeping up, doesn't it?
Keeping up?
Keeping up. Because, I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of years where I couldn't tell you what happened in that year.
Mm.
In the year when it happened. Right? Let alone awarenesses or insights or clarity from 10 or 11 months ago. And to see how that those changes have happened, to see how the circumstances are different because you're different, and to realize the transformation that is happening, kind of as it's happening.
Yeah.
Because we've talked before about the looking back and having a sense of what was going on 5 years ago in the, the personal growth kind of clarity, I could see where I was 5 years ago, see how I was seeing life and that sort of thing. And then to see where I am, have that sense of it now, to be watching the things that are going on now, and then in that way of realizing that, oh, this was in February of this year, and now there's this, and it just to me it argues for keeping up,
wow.
Staying in touch with your practice, because otherwise a lot can happen, and we just don't notice that it happened, and if we don't notice that it happened, it's very hard to take advantage of it.
Yes. Yes, and well. That also speaks very loudly for recording.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I have that.
That's
and,
right.
It can't go away.
It can't go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So, one of the interesting things that's popping up for me is I've been working with a business coach the last 3 months, and I had my last session with her today, and there's this like naked feeling that I have, like when you're six and like maybe your parent goes to school with you every day, and then all of a sudden okay, now you're going to go to school on your own, and I'm like, no, I'm not ready to go to school on my own. I have that feeling of I looked at my calendar, and my last session with her was today, and for the first time in a very long time, I haven't, like, signed up for classes, workshops, more things. What I've noticed over the last couple months that my schedule has been really, really full is that there's this idea that that I'm carrying around with me that after this class, or after this thing, or after this whatever, then I will be whatever it is, up to the task, that'll be adequate to my life, or whatever the thing is. And so I really set a deep intention to finish out my time with my business coach and then resist the impulse. And the impulse has been so strong. I mean, stuff keeps coming in my inbox and opportunities and ideas, and there's so much I could sign up for.
I could do this.
And what ends up happening is my schedule feels so full that I find it difficult to implement the practices that I'm learning about and all the things, because I got to go take my next online course or my next this thing or my next that thing. And so now I'm sitting with that sort of feeling of, what if I don't have to do anything to prove that I'm skillful or knowledgeable enough to be doing my job, and I just do it? And that's wild.
Yeah, what a concept.
I feel wild.
Yeah, what if you take the time that you would have spent on that next whatever it was, implementing what you learned and having that experience?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting with all the stuff that comes up around that feeling of, it's just me in the world, and is that enough?
Well, yeah. Or you don't have to do that. So there's spaciousness in which you can practice what you have learned. Mm-hmm. Giving it a label, giving that those feelings labels and meanings isn't really a requirement.
What do you mean?
Well, that it now it's just you.
Mm.
Well, okay, if I'm not doing this, well, then it's just me. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounded daunting to me. So I can imagine what it's like to be the me who is on her own right. In a giant world. Yeah. But actually, all you've described is you have 3 months of coaching, you got all these, you're all tuned up and trained up, you have all this information, time to put it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
You see the importance of that?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, it's just such a, those kinds of things that we get encouraged to say mm-hmm. that really miss the point but are designed to keep the karma in place.
Mm.
Because, oh my God, now it's just you. Where's that next?
Right.
Because it's just me. I need something. It can't be just me. But that's not the point. That sentence didn't have anything to do with reality.
Mm-hmm. I see that. I see that now. Thank
yeah.
you. That's helpful.
Yeah, you're ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Good.
I don't know what I'm going to say, actually, but something when in the last conversation or the first one, the whole thing about you know, so what was really neat about this everything was really good about this year-long retreat, and then let's face it. And I think when you say keeping up, I don't know if you meant keeping up with the
just keeping up with current events.
Yeah.
You know, keeping current about your life.
Yes.
Not going to sleep for a couple of months where conditioning is in there doing whatever it's doing. Yeah.
But what it reminded me of is the, you know, at the very last day of each focus is this summary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to go back, you know, and actually kind of put it all together, you know, and sometimes it turned out to be not a real long summary, but sometimes it got longer because I put more in it. And then I found a way in that recording app to copy recordings I wanted and put them in another folder. So I copied all the summaries.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and put them in a whole, you know, different place so that there's one right after the other in it. So it's like the whole class in a summarized
uh-huh.
form, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I have all the what do you call it? That page where, oh, the commitment page, you know. I copied mm-hmm. it out, so it's the real commitment page. And then have them all on my wall, so all 10 of them. And it really is helpful to see. Just to see it, to just like, it looks like a life, a year laid out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a year in this one little folder in the recorder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely amazing how, from the beginning to the end, how, you know, just really exciting.
Yes. You can see it,
mm-hmm.
right? You can see the transformation, it's undeniable.
Yeah, and then you can at least you can feel it
mm-hmm.
because you know that it has happened.
Yes.
And I can feel the difference, you know, inside.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just such a, it's really amazing. I mean, to go through life, I mean, just the ordinary days, like yesterday was a funeral, one of the sisters died, and to be there and to be really present there and to, can't say enjoy it, but yeah, enjoy it, you know, it and the funeral and the gathering of people who were there, and then just every little aspect of life seems to just be more pronounced or something, you know, more well, more there, more, because I'm more here, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm more here, but I'm less here, hopefully, and that's what's doing it.
More here in a less here sort of a way.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hope. So, you know, it's just, I never get, I'm always amazed at practice, and then just also so grateful for it, because it truly is never ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things for those of us who did the year long, and I know this is not how everybody measures it, but it's clear that people are so much happier.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. And so for practice that is devoted to ending suffering, which mm-hmm. is what the Buddha taught, to realize that people are happier. Mm-hmm. And not in a, somewhere recently, and I have several large corporations that I have a profound irritation with.
Yes, yeah. I was experiencing one of those.
Yeah,
myself.
And this one, I don't even know where I was when I saw this, but it was a commercial for this company, and I can't remember how they started it off, but oh, it was little kids being happy, you know, being happy and excited about the holidays, and then there was, now how come adults can't be that way? Mm-hmm. And then these people who are just buying tons of stuff from this particular company, uh-huh. and just jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and just so happy, just so beside themselves, because they're just mountains of boxes of stuff coming to them. And that's not the happy we're talking about.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
That would be very unhappy.
Yeah, and it's not that a person can't be happy with stuff. That, you know, that's not the point.
Right.
But the being in touch with our authentic nature that is happiness. Mm. And so, to me, it's what you said about being at the funeral for your sister. Mm-hmm. That there's a happiness there. Mm-hmm. There's a happiness in her life.
It was a real celebration of her life.
Yes. Yeah. And the relationships and the connections and what a difference mm-hmm. her life made. And there's a joy in that, mm-hmm. that goes right along with the sadness that you won't see her anymore
right.
in this particular form.
Right.
So, That happiness that we can see in people, sometimes, with the retreat, it feels like dropping some of that heaviness,
mm-hmm.
dropping the suffering, mm-hmm. and having a different way of being mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah, and just to get it that. It really is just turning away from the suffering, and that's all it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that's really an amazing thing to
yes,
and to realize when to do it. You know when,
mm-hmm. yeah. and that nothing in life changes.
Right.
No. People, there's still all of these circumstances and yeah. families and relationships and people die and all of these. Nothing about that is going to change.
Yeah. Right.
And yet, the gratitude that we feel
exactly
for not needing to live in an orientation of something wrong and something missing and that comparison and the mm-hmm. that goes on in the head, it's happy.
Yeah. Yes, and you know, another thing that I realized, or you know, saw in a way that was different, a realization, was that you know how when you so you're just going along, and then you feel all this love.
Yes.
I was just watching how I could put, because you know, the you want to say, or the condition was, oh, I love you, no matter who, even if it's a kind of a universal you, but that whatever could come into that space at that time really is loved. Mm-hmm. I've even tried somebody, you know, somebody we all know and don't like. And it doesn't go away just because of that.
Yes.
And I've just been noticing that and seeing how, wow, I mean, that really is, that's what unconditional love is. And that, and it's not exactly what you call a two-way street. In other words, we know that life loves us unconditionally, and then, I don't know how to say this without, you know, sounding weird, but it wants...
I don't think any of us need to worry about that, Phil.
Well, it wants us to respond in that same way of loving it in everything, in that unconditional love. I mean, it's like, it doesn't go just one way, oh yeah, I'm loved unconditionally by life, or I'm practicing unconditional love, but what about, you know, it's just kind of a...
Yes.
A mix.
Yes.
Or something.
Or, if we really want to get crazy, we could say, it's all love. And what we are getting over is differentiating.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it, yes.
That we're seeing beyond the subject-object.
Yes, the subject
illusion.
Object, and the this can be and this can't be. Mm-hmm. Loved, you know, mm-hmm. And yeah,
all dualities.
Also, yeah. So anyhow, just I feel very grateful, and you know, I wasn't even in that. It's interesting. I start out in the day, really, you know, ready to go, happy, and all that, and I come home so tired. I don't think in a bad way, but just it reminded me of that being thrown on.
Oh, I just changed my calendar today, Phil, and so I read it again because it's always in the front of my because I have a paper calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should find that and put it in there because I keep losing track of it. You know that where it is, mm-hmm. And because
does everybody know what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? No? Can you say it, Ashwini? Can anybody say it?
It's the George Bernard Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
About...
the greatest joy is to be used for a purpose that we ourselves see as...
I just remember the scrap heap.
Yeah.
And then to be thrown...
Before we're thrown on the scrap heap, yeah. And not to... complain.
Well, that first part, yeah.
The first part is very powerful.
Yeah.
The one about that life doesn't know us.
Yeah.
Right? And it's beautifully said. I don't know that. I can't
find it.
Well, I just remembered in this conversation that I was supposed to write an article for the newsletter a week ago. And...
maybe you could write it on this.
I could write it on that.
Because it's really good, and it's really
true. Yeah, it is really good. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then, but what I noticed was, if I can not dwell on the tired and stuff, it's, nothing changes as far as what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Well, and it's, feverish little clawed ailments and complaints. Complaining that life won't devote itself to making me happy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And instead be used up and, mm-hmm. and thrown off.
So when you're when you have that used up, uh-huh. you can first of all just be grateful you haven't yet been thrown on the scrap heap.
Right.
So that's a good day.
Yeah.
And then that just to know that I'm worn out at the end of the day mm-hmm. doing things that I feel good about.
And back just one more thing back to that. It means something. Like sometimes I see conditioning going on. Well, what did I do that made me so tired? You know, what didn't feel like I did that much? You know, and so it would like to say, so you shouldn't be feeling this way, you know, or like that, and that has it's just like I think I don't know what I did today. I mean, I do, you know, I could tell you. But you know, also I don't know what made me so say end up tired today. Let's put it that way. But it doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, why is this trying to figure it out or care?
Right.
Doesn't make it matter.
Right.
This is just kind
of. There are lots of things like that I've noticed.
Yes.
That those voices in the head want people to be concerned about.
Yes.
Like, should they be tired? Should you be hungry?
Right.
Did you sleep too much? Mm-hmm. Did you get up too late? Did you go to bed too late?
Did you not
sleep
enough?
Did you go to bed too early? Did you not sleep enough?
That'll do it to me. Oh gosh, you didn't sleep enough. Well, it doesn't bother me.
Well, that's why you're tired.
It's possible.
You didn't sleep enough.
Yeah. But then I'll get a really good night's sleep now, where occasionally that happens, more often than not these days. And when I get up, it'll say something like, God, really, you slept a lot. Did you oversleep? But you just know it's just going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just is. Karen, I was alone for a week. Kent was visiting his brother, and there would be entire days when I would go without speaking. And I was having such a good time with that I made the decision not to speak. And what I had this experience of was hearing the mentor speaking and realizing that she's actually talking to me all the time. And I got a sense that the conversation there wasn't it was so different in nature from that it was this lovely feeling. It wasn't even a sense of I wasn't the object, just what we were talking about. Just I wasn't the object of her love. I was enveloped in it. Mm-hmm. I was just in the stillness. I had access to it. I guess is. I'm not. Did it get kind of hard to tell if there were any boundaries?
Yeah, because it was almost like there was a conversation, but it wasn't a back and forth. It was a. Mm-hmm. It was just this, mm-hmm. and what happened was that there were. Things were dropping in that had never occurred to me before. It was just, and my practice, my behavior change was to do whatever she said. And what came out of it was, it was clear that my I'm very vulnerable in transition, and I'll set in intentions, and I can get easily pulled off in another direction. So the instruction was to go to work wherever, whenever I'm going to change, go from one thing to the next or change direction, is to go sit. Just 5 minutes. So I had my little timer set for 5 minutes, and I would just sit. So if I was engaged in an activity and then I finished that, okay, well, now we're going to
go sit.
Well, mm-hmm. No, we're going to go sit. Mm-hmm. Because maybe that's not what. Because that was what we had thought about earlier, but maybe now that's not it. Mm-hmm. And it was the most, the expansion of time. Because there's never enough time. There's never, you've got to. I had so, there was so much time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had, there was a giver and a receiver, but the experience was, there was no separation. Mm-hmm. And I feel, it's that it's like being touched by something that reminds you. I was listening to another teacher do a Dharma talk on tapes, and he would say, "Oh, nobly born," because it's a reminder that we are, that thou art, that there is a dignity. That we're being asked, there's a call to respond in that nobility, that mm-hmm. dignity.
Mm-hmm. And this could be completely off track, but when we're talking about words and that experience that you're having, I project, shows how successfully words take us away from what is so. That's part of what you experience in that. Without the words, without the thoughts, then the transmission is immediate. Which is when I asked you about is there any boundary in that? And that feeling of, I'm not sure which one I am. It gets tricky to.
Yes, and there's almost like the answer came before the question.
Yeah.
Which I felt like I was having a conversation with someone who was telling me the answers before I knew what I was going to ask.
Yes. Yes. And I would suggest that we might consider that that's always happening. Mm. Mm.
So that's why practice is set up the way it is. That to give us access to that. I mean, all of the everything that ego rails against is what's set up to allow us to have that experience. Or I'm
well, let's see if this fits at all. And for all of us doing a practice, but we could say for everybody everywhere, mm-hmm. okay? If we consider that the illusion of being separate from life is no, to life's yes. And that everything in our lives is a yes to which ego says no. And so in that way that you just described, we have the answer. And what we're learning to do is recognize the question. So, did that hang together at all? Not really.
I'm having that same experience with you right now. That you're giving me the answer before I know what the question is.
Yeah. So, so in that experience that you were having, you wouldn't have been there if you didn't know the experience that you were going to have. Mm. So we are constantly being led into experiences that we don't recognize, and yet they are the experience that is going to give us the experience that we are ready for.
And there's a familiarity there.
Yes.
Because that part, that spark, that divinity, it's recognizing itself.
Exactly so.
And I feel that recognition.
Exactly so. And well, you are that recognition.
I am that recognition, and I'm home.
Yes. Yes.
I am home.
Yes. Yeah.
In both.
Yes. And then all of the stuff of life is there, which is what makes that kind of situation so important. I mean, it's why we go on retreat. It's why, you know, because all of the stuff of life is meant to be right in between that me and me. Right? And you know that that's the case. That without that kind of environment where there was the time and the space to do that, and it could drop in, and there was nothing to stop you from doing that. And you knew that that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
And so you did that. And then you're guided every step of the way in that process.
Yes.
Yeah. And so in a situation like that, it's really obvious that something is going on. When we're just walking around in life, it's harder to see that same process, right? Because there's I'm in that place where I've completed all of this, I'm ready to go, and what conditioned mind is going to say is, what if I'm not ready? Okay, now, and then we're meant to go with that, right? We're meant to turn our attention to that instead of, here I am. I am ready. Yeah? So being in that situation, there was nothing interfering. And so you could just simply go with what you were being guided to, and I would say that you chose that experience so that you could have that experience. I would say that's going on all the time with us, right? We are making our choices based on, this is the experience I'm ready for right now. And of course, the ego is just going to kick and scream and carry on, and it's wrong and it shouldn't, and what's the... But it's that same process.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when our practice gets to a certain point, then we know that that's going on, even, and so we're able to see that process, even though ego is kicking up a whatever it is about, you're so tired, and why is this, and what are you, and you probably slept too much. All of that is going on, and yet we're still able to hear that still small voice. We're able to follow that guidance. We're able to recognize what's dropping in. We're able to say yes to it.
Yeah. This is so wonderful, because at night it would say, you're alone. Mm-hmm. What if, you know, you're vulnerable, you're what? And it was like, really? That's
it's the best you got?
Seriously? And well, what if something happens to Kent? You know, that's a long drive from L.A. Right? You're also, now you're going to pull out the, you know. And so there was this, okay, bring it on. Whatever it is, because, you know, you're going to be exposed for what you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to collude with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to torture this dear, sweet person who is having this lovely time. Mm-hmm. And in the past, there would have been this almost thing of, well, you've had such a good time during the day, now you need to pay the piper. Mm-hmm. And there was like, no, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm.
No, in fact, I'm not alone.
Yes.
And as soon as I get rid of you.
Yeah. But there was this, it was like, I don't know how else to describe it other than there was this feeling of there was a grown-up there. The whole time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was somebody, there was a responsible grown-up, mm-hmm.
With kindness and clarity and,
yes.
And wanting to be present.
Yeah. Mm. Which is, well, what do you do, Sherry, when you want to? There's this urge to talk about something, but there's someone here who, oh, I know what it is. It wants to dissipate all of this, mm-hmm. and so I don't want to say anymore. That nothing more needs to be said. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So much drops in from these last couple of interchanges. One is going back to that quote about the clod of dirt looking for life to make it happy. My sense is that in presence, it is always there doing that, mm-hmm. to surprise and delight you, mm-hmm. beyond your wildest dreams, mm-hmm. if you were present and accepting and open to that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And so I think it's so funny to hear that, because certainly my projection is that it's ego that will never see life as offering that. Uh-huh. It's just life that sees that that's what's available, mm-hmm. that life sees that that's what's available.
Well, and from what you're saying, clearly ego doesn't want to see it that way as much as it would claim that it does. It does not.
Right. I see it as whining and crying, but that's not quite the way that I wanted it to be. You know, that's not quite the event, yes. or that's not quite the circumstances, mm-hmm. or that's not quite the standards, and if only, and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Yeah. And the second thing was something I'd heard recently is the fallacy of looking for love of self.
Love of the self?
Of self.
Of self.
And rather focus on love that is self. Mm-hmm. And kind of going back to, I think, what was being offered is that sense that the self, capital S, authenticity, that's what it actually is. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that has to be gained or bought or found or worked for or done for, that when it really is a place of understanding that it's already here, mm-hmm. That love of self, love that is self, is like such a beautiful mm-hmm. kind of experience. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that it's not an experience of getting. Mm-mm. It's an experience of dropping.
Yeah, Yeah.
So
yeah.
Peeling away everything that's.
Yeah, because I think what I heard being pointed to in that distinction was love of self is like self needs to be loved. You know, it kind of goes back to like, oh, I have to, you know, do something or fix or, you know, heal the past wounds or, you know, whatever. But then you're trying to you're on this, what I think practice is always pointed to is on the self-improvement program, and that will never happen because mm-hmm. ego has no interest in self-improvement. Mm-hmm. Flipping it to love that is self mm-hmm. just takes all of that away. Mm-hmm. And that's just been tremendously helpful for me lately, to see that possibility, and to see that is what's there. When all else gets stripped away, when all else gets taken away.
Yes. Well, and interestingly with that, again, it's one of those places that it's always right there, but it's really hard to see, that experience is what makes everything else possible.
Mm.
So, as you're indicating, you know, you're in a situation and ego is saying, well, but it's, and yet there's enjoyment in that situation. Ego's over there trying to find the one or two little things that are wrong with it, that it could, the negativity that it could get you to focus on. But there is enjoyment of whatever that is. So people will have a life full of things that they want, that they love, that they like, that they appreciate, that all of that. And yet, there's that focus on the, yeah, but, and the, no, quiet in the, yeah. And so, in that way, we are experiencing all the time the love that we're looking for.
Mm.
It's always right there. Without it, we would not be having anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And attention is trained to look to the, to find the something that isn't quite right. So even though, so if we just go with something like enjoyment, you know, there you are, you're just enjoying this thoroughly, and there's this little conversation about what's wrong that increasingly is taking the attention away, and so we don't realize that, oh, enjoyment, all this enjoyment I'm able to have because that's my authentic nature.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it kind of, to me, what drops in when you were saying that was kind of back to the, is there a boundary? You know, there isn't. In that place, there is no sense of what begins and what ends. Mm-hmm. And
no other.
Oh, why would you want one? You know, it's like, boy, in that place, that's there's not any necessary part of that. So I did have an experience of that last night. I was laying in bed, and I had done all my nightly ablutions and, you know, set myself up because I was doing something early this morning and wanted to make sure I got to sleep. And but I had something that was, I had an ego story. You know, I had something that was going on, something that was, you know, ego wanted to blow up into like this huge, you know. So I turn the lights off and I'm laying in bed and my heart's pounding. And I feel like I'm just vibrating in the bed, just like all, and I just, I've had this a few times. I just got to be there with it.
Whee!
And it was like flying, you know. I mean, that's a great, I don't know what you call that expression, but it was a great, you know, it was just this, you know, and then it was a recognition that, you know, sleep is not happening, so I'm going to pick up a book again.
Might as well enjoy this.
I'm going to pick up a book again and, you know, or enjoy this, and I did, and it was really lovely, and then when the ego stories kind of started wanting to pick at that, and, you know, now you're really hosed because now it's really late and everything like that. It was like, okay, well, let me just turn my attention to something like this again. And, you know, within a short time, I was able to, you know, turn all the lights off and go to sleep. But it was just that really what I think I feel like practice has set me up for is to be in the most challenging, what used to be like the most challenging situation of something that would normally question all of me, which now I know is ego, and not go there.
Uh-huh.
And just not go there.
And isn't it just beyond remarkable that that is possible? Because we are so conditioned,
yeah,
to believe that that is not possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are circumstances that I'm sorry, even the Buddha wouldn't be able to,
I'm sure,
identify through this. And there's, yeah, just that distance, yeah, from it where you realize,
yeah, yeah,
it's a story.
Yeah.
A little pal here gave out on us. It's now 12:53. I knew that was wrong.
It seems like these conversations have taken me to something that came up in the radio show, and I haven't gone back to listen to the recordings of it, but it's Anne brought it up again, that she'd been practicing with it, and I think it was in the Friday morning show, of when something, and I wish I could paraphrase it better, but something's off, and then you realize, oh, that that really means you're loved.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't quite saying it's the opposite of what was coming up, but it was really close to that.
Yeah.
Can you say more,
yes,
about that?
I can.
Yeah, because I practice with
that. I remember what you were saying. So Liesl was the one that started,
yes,
us off, right?
Thank you.
Because she had those sensations that as much as she practiced, she just couldn't get past or couldn't get to any place other than, this is awful, this is horrible. And so what we were talking about is that same process where somebody would call into the radio show and they would say, I'm calling in because the voices don't want me to call in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and what we were talking about was how actually there's an impulse to call in, which you probably missed. Surely you missed. Because the first thing we tune into is, no, don't call in. Don't call in. And so then I have to call in as a reaction to the don't call in. But what we're really calling in for is going back before the don't call in to that original impulse to call in.
So this is really getting back to what was brought up, that Carolyn had brought up, I think, then, that you're just there for that initial impulse. I mean, it's actually been referred to a few times, but that initial impulse. That we're,
yes, so there is some feeling of well-being, of connection, of whatever it is. And the ego reaction to that no, is a sensation. Mm-hmm. That then becomes dreaded, frightening, upsetting, whatever it is. Because the label gets by, I hate to pick on you, but it's exactly the same process that we were just talking about. There, you know, here I am, there's actually nothing going on. That gets labeled as, God, you just got thrown off into the void. And then that's a horrible thing, right? When actually, what set that negative reaction off was a feeling of being here, ready. Okay? So the feeling is of that when you tune into that, that negativity is a reaction to life's message.
Mm. So if I could use when I call in, I think maybe it was the last time on one of the radio shows, saying that when I was sick and that something's wrong. So that would be an indicator that actually,
yes,
everything's just great.
Yes. It's just, well, because I project that what was happening with that is, so something is going on with your body, right? And probably, I mean, I don't want to get too far out there with this, but very likely, your body was actually responding to what was going on with it, okay? That gets interpreted as there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, actually, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. We could say, oh, there's something going on here, but ego is not going to say there's something going on here. That's too open-ended, right? There's something wrong. So what is it? There's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. And we can, you know, it wouldn't be hard to go into a fearful or dread or whatever it is kind of place with that, right? When actually what would be possible if that negativity weren't going on is, well, there's something happening here. Okay. So there's something happening with my body. So I want to tune into what's happening with my body. I want to be really sensitive. Mm-hmm. I want to be present to it. I want to be, which is the equivalent of a very loving response to something that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. So it could be something physical, emotional, mental. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is kind of black and white in that way. You know, ego conditioning is going to frame everything negatively. So whatever is going on, it's going to put a negative spin on it.
Yeah, and I guess what it keeps taking me to is it day 16 in the process, what we were in our year long, where we're looking at what, I was a shortcut to say the opposite of what conditioning is saying. It's, conditioning has a story. It's beautifully said, but
she probably knows.
Of course, what's true about you, the internalization of which.
Record what's
true. Reveals. It's basically something that you can't be tortured by self hate when you internalize that.
Mm-hmm. What's true about you? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe it's a different thing. Okay. So, because what it takes me to is that I look for what's. Because conditioning is always lying.
That's day 19.
Oh.
The karmic conversation has the answer.
Thank you.
Which it stated, right? It's always not what is so. So, what's the clue in the conversation that actually reveals what is so? But the way it's being framed by conditioning is a deflection.
So is that sort of point to the same? I mean, that's what I'm getting out of the examples that were given in the radio show. That something comes up, it's conditioned, you know, whether it's something's wrong or in meditation there, that person's having that experience. And it's actually, if you go behind
mm-hmm.
it, there is the caring, the love, the whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so straightforward, mm-hmm. right? We don't even have to get terribly esoteric about it, right? Because if, let's say it's something physical, right? So there's a big old tight lump in the guts. And God, I mean, this must be awful, right? This surely the world is coming to an end or something horrible. This means something horrible, right? Well, what would you do with the person who is having that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd love them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're having a horrible experience. So even just in that pure old straightforward way, look what's happened to us, that I get this in my insides, and the impulse is to turn away, to reject the person, to go with a story of, to abandon the person and go with this story of whatever, what the person has done wrong or how horrible this is or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just, it feels, well, it feels... for me right now, like that's where I want to practice. It just feels like it's the key to the...
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've had the experience. It's just that I was struggling to... It's probably because this is right there, not wanting me to see.
Well, and it's... I mean, you started out talking about it. There have been a lot of things going on. A lot of hard things going on. And the process of engaging with hard things going on, it removes us from unconditional love. It just does.
By engaging it.
Thinking about it, you know, talking about it, going over it, and you know, whatever that is, it removes us from the love that we're seeking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you think about one of your kids, they're little and they have a stomachache. And you say, oh my God, no, get away from me. You come and tell me when that goes away, okay? Because until then, I don't want anything to do with you. And it's just too ludicrous to even imagine, right? And yet, that's how we're conditioned to treat ourselves.
I have a question. Before I came, I checked the schedule for the, and it looked like there was that meditation or group resumed on January 12th, but it didn't say anything about January 6th or 5th and 9th, which is a Sunday and a Monday. So I'm not sure if the 5th and the 9th, if there's something.
There is not. It needs to be updated.
Okay.
I saw that today and have an email to...
So the next time is the 12th.
And that's a
Sunday.
Sunday
the 12th.
Sunday the 12th.
Whew.
I know.
I hope I can make it. Thank you.
Can she come and see us in the evenings?
I don't see why not. We're on retreat from the 27th through the 1st. In Menlo Park. So it's a retreat. It's got curriculum, but in the evenings, Sherry does group if you want to join us.
Oh, okay.
Just write in and...
Okay.
Maybe write in to center and then we'll work out the...
Cool.
Meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
If you can, make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No pressure. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any.
Hmm?
I said I don't feel any.
I'm good.
Well, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate sitting here.
It's a very lovely place, isn't it? Once we make peace with the cauliflower.
Well, I actually meant sitting here as opposed to sitting there.
Oh, I see.
It just puts me in touch with an attitude towards practice, which I don't drop into very often.
Mm.
And so it's just such a pleasure to see you sit there, framed by those flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what I've been looking at with movements and practice. That the reason to practice all of the movements of the two-handed recording is because some orientations are become dominant because that's what they get practiced.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the receptivity is not there. But it's not a direct experience because it's the off-pulse. And I'm so much more tuned to the dominant on-pulses.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to be able to sit there, there's such a receptivity that is practiced in order for life to flow through that place, which is one orientation. But then it's all receptivity. It's just different kinds of receptivity, and I'm appreciating the receptivity that I get to experience by making that movement here.
Well, good. I'm very glad.
I don't know. It was just such a powerful, such gratitude that is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the relationship I'm in with that and with that. And if you're the instrument, oftentimes it's not very real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an awareness of the awareness of it quite the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of our yoga teachers used to talk about how wonderful it is to have a led experience.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes we're so in a particular orientation to something that to be able to take a step back and just relax into the experience, a led experience, is very nice.
Well, yes, because what it puts me in touch with is being loved, being supported, being given to, which I'm always experiencing, but in a different way. And so it's not there, it's just it's not experienced mm-hmm. in that way, and
yes.
Therefore it doesn't feel...
Yes. Well, it kind of reminds me of talking about the enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, that it's there, but if we don't have a particular relationship with it,
That's right.
We don't experience it in the same way.
Yeah. It reminds me of the... when I go home to India, and I'm in a child relationship with a parent, when my mom makes me food, for example, there's a way in which a need gets met that I don't feel the need for it to be met as a competent adult most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in that situation, I realize how much I appreciate being able to make that movement and switch roles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when that happens, it's not that I'm longing for it, but when
right.
it happens, it's
yes.
such a tender place
mm-hmm.
that something gets, I don't know how to actually process it, because I'm not aware that I long for it, so it's not that I'm missing it,
mm-hmm.
but I realize only when I have it that I would like, that's something that I might enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the place I wanted to process, which is that may not be available, but when it is, one enjoys it
mm-hmm.
because my life is not constructed that I go home to India every other weekend and have my mom make me a cup of tea. That's not what my life is constructed by around. And so there's a way in which I'm very happy that I don't live in the longing for what I'm missing.
Mm-hmm.
But I so appreciate it when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the place of, then do I go seek it?
Well, that would be silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well,
that would be silly in that then you would be in the longing place. That
right.
you realize that you were happy you weren't in and able to.
Right.
Right? And so it seems to me like we have that kind of experience often, or maybe we say regularly, when, you know, it's a beautiful sunrise, or, you know, the sun is shining on the little raindrops, or the hummingbird is, or... You know, whatever it is, or you read something that is particularly beautiful, or whatever, we're just kind of surprised mm-hmm. by an experience that, and perhaps it's back here again, it's the presence that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just, it comes together. There's the whatever it is, and there's the presence, and then there's that completion. And there isn't a longing for it because it's not that thing that is the difference.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, and so it's the sort of conundrum place where I don't I I sometimes still trip up into whether it's going up into the head to ask the question, or just if it was meant to be, it would be different.
Mm.
Versus, I don't see the difference. Because in that moment that connection happens and the clouds part and I see the hummingbird, or I turn around and have this sense of appreciation of this different place, it's, I think what you're saying is, it's not that it's a different place, it's just that there's the coming together, right? It's the process, not the content. So it doesn't mean that I seek to sit here every moment.
That's right.
Because if I did that, I probably won't necessarily have that experience, because it's not that, it's not the content, but the process that came together that is missed, and then the attachment gets put on the content.
Yes. So if you were to come in every day and sit there, looking for that experience, I mean, we can all know you would mm-hmm. not have that experience. Mm-hmm. Because...
And I've missed that experience.
Yeah. Because of what you would be, of who, we could say it that way, of who would be. It's the same way if Carolyn sent Kent off next week so that she could replicate mm-hmm. that experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The odds are very good that it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we can do, of course, is to pursue the process,
yeah,
without any concern at all for the content, right? So what we're pursuing is to be present in that way, yeah. To be so here that, and now words get right,
yeah.
But that's it. It's when everything comes together, everything comes together. That's the experience. Mm-hmm. Now, can that always be the case? Absolutely. Can somebody pursue that? Absolutely. Will pursuing it probably make sure it won't happen? Absolutely. Will not pursuing it make sure it won't happen? Probably so. And so that attitude of mind of wanting to be so here that every moment is that purity and that sweetness and that yes, that is what we are pursuing in practice.
So the answer to the that the content is irrelevant is always the case.
Yes.
Just, it's sometimes harder in certain content.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Keeps us from believing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.